but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Texas State, the newest member of the Pac-12 Conference. Gosh, that sounds strange to say that in 2025, but what do you know? I'm here with Kelly Damphis, who is the president at Texas State, Don Coryell, who is the athletic director at Texas State. Maybe I'll just start with you, President Damphis. The moment where you announced that Texas State is joining the Pac-12, what'd that feel like for you?
Well, it's a culmination of a long time of working on this. You know, Don and I started talking about this in July of 2022, which was my first week on the job. We met, he gave me a tour of facilities. We talked about things. By the way, one thing that I love about Don's been there for a long time, but he's passionate about not just his sports, but his student athletes. I walked into his office and he had a bunch of pictures of young people all across his computer. And I thought, are these students that you know personally? He said, no, I'm trying to memorize the names of each one of the student athletes so that when I see them, I can call them by their name. I said, I don't know how many athletics directors do that kind of, you know, special work, because it's, you know, it's, there's something powerful about calling someone by their name as opposed to, hey, good looking or whatever. And so he was super passionate about this, but we talked even then, someday there's going to be more realignment. What does it take to position Texas State to be in the room when the decisions get made? And then, so that's July of 2022. And then fast forward to basically the end of June in 2025, some 3 years later, almost to the day, where we're actually able to announce it. And the past year has been waxing and waning of excitement, anxiety, uncertainty. A lot of people talking about us who don't know much about Texas State, but we can't really respond. And then everything kind of like, there's a flurry of activity at the very end. And then there's this waiting moment. So we announce on Friday that we're going to have a meeting on Monday. So Don and I spend the whole weekend kind of anxiously waiting for Monday morning to arrive on June 30th. We meet with the regents. They ask some really good questions about, you know, why we're doing this and you know, what are all of our options. And then finally they come back and very quickly just approve it. And then it's like, I don't want to say anticlimactic, but Beth and I were at our lake house at the time and it was just me and her. And so we kind of did a little high five, and then I said, well, I guess I'll go mow the lawn now. And so I wasn't able to celebrate with anybody. Don had exactly the opposite experience because he was at his office when it happened.
Yeah, Don, can you maybe take us through that? And I'm real curious, like, the moment where you're meeting with your coaches in particular, or you're informing your coaches, how did that go down?
Yeah, it was a cool moment, right? Super exciting for everybody. I was a lot different than Kelly. I had people to celebrate with right away. So, you know, as soon as we got off that Board of Regents call and it was approved, I kind of went through the hallway and was really, John, just kind of high-fiving anybody in sight, right? And we had scheduled a head coaches and a full staff meeting right after that in anticipation of the potential move. And so, I got to walk into this beautiful club level that we have in our basketball arena and volleyball arena. And the excitement, you know, you walk into an ovation, essentially, right? Like, everybody's clapping. Everybody's really fired up about the moves. And so everybody was elated, right? And then after that, I asked our head coaches to stick around a little bit, right? And had some questions for them, asked them to help me put together some information, particularly some of the things that'll need to be discussed, right, with Pac-12 membership. You know, some of the scheduling moving forward. So I pulled aside our baseball coach, said, "Hey, you know, give me some suggestions." Same thing with our softball coach. But really just, our head coaches, and I've said this in some of the other interviews, we're competitors, right? I mean, you don't get into athletics if you're not. That's our coaches, our student athletes, our administration, our president is ultra competitive. And this gives us an opportunity to compete at the highest level, right? And so that's what I think our coaches are most excited about, our student athletes and our fans as well.
Can you guys maybe speak to, because I had a lot of Pac-12 fans say, okay, who is Texas State? And what do you tell people? You know, you travel around the country and people stop you at an airport. What do you say about Texas State? What do you lead with?
You know, one of the things that's great about college athletics is it allows us to have those conversations with people. And I've spent the last year talking with presidents and chancellors across the country in different conferences to talk about who is Texas State, trying to make the case for Texas State. Unfortunately, if your football team isn't doing very well, if your men's basketball team isn't doing very well, ours has been, but men's football has been a little bit behind behind where we wanted to be until recently. People don't know much about your university, and it's kind of an odd thing that athletics plays such a huge role in the, you know, university's reputation, but it really, to be honest, is a fact of life. And so we embraced that, and we said, here's an opportunity for me to share with you about Texas State. I talk about the fact that we're huge. We had almost 41,000 students last fall. We'll have 43,000 students this fall. Our freshman class will be around 9,400 students. There's a lot of universities that don't even have 9,000 students overall, but our freshman class will be huge like that. The number of international students has tripled in the past couple of years. Our domestic non-resident applications have gone through the roof since we started playing in bowl games and competing well there with so-called Autonomy 5 or Autonomy 4 conference schools, doing well in football there. And so we're about to become an R1 institution, so we've got all of our ducks lined up in a row to become an R1 by 2027. It's an accident of history that we're not R1 already. We actually have a very sophisticated research operation here at Texas State, but for many years we weren't allowed to have PhD programs. We just were, in the last 20 years or so, allowed to have PhD programs. We've doubled the number of PhD programs in the past couple of years, and our metrics are lined up that we'll be an R1 by that time. We're the fifth public university in the state of Texas to have a Phi Beta Kappa chapter, which is a most prestigious honor society here. We have a huge number of really high-quality students coming here. Our faculty come here from around the world. We have a beautiful campus. I'm looking out my window right now and seeing how beautiful this place is. We're in the first hill in the Hill Country, which is one of the most beautiful places in the world, among the most beautiful campuses in the world. We're, you know, annually recognized as the best college town in Texas. And so from an academic, geographic perspective, there's a lot of great things to talk about at Texas State. And then Don, of course, talking to his colleagues about athletics and what's going on there.
Yeah, I'll just add, John, we show really well, right? We always say if we can get recruits on campus, we've got a really good chance of signing them here. Beautiful campus. You know, we talk about Sewell Park, which is the San Marcos River, and how beautiful that is. And it's such a crown jewel and something that we love to show off. But it's a really social campus, right? I mean, a block from campus is any kind of amenity a student would want here. We've got a great downtown square. We've got beautiful facilities. I can't wait to host, you know, other Pac-12 fans and teams and show our facilities off. And then just comprehensively, we've been really good, right? You know, we talked about the Boobas Cup and the Commissioner's Cup and the Sun Belt Conference, but I'm really proud about how across the board, you know, I think all of our sports perform at a really high level.
How much did you guys have to factor travel in making this Pac-12 decision? You know, some of these, Washington State to San Marcos is a bit of a haul when you look at it on the map. Yeah,
we obviously factored it into our projections for our future budgets. You know, in terms of travel and time on the road, said this in a few other interviews, you know, I think we could potentially actually spend less time on the road than we do now in the Sun Belt Conference. Some of that has to do with bus trips, right? Obviously, those are being eliminated. Like right now, we'll bus a lot of our sports to Lafayette, Louisiana, 7 hours away. You know, we'll bus to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 8 hours. We'll bus to Mobile, Alabama. We're going to have to charter a lot more. It's going to be more expensive. You know, and even some of the trips within the league aren't super convenient. You know, to get to App State, you fly into Charlotte, you go 3 hours to Boone. You know, you fly into D.C. and go a couple hours to JMU. I think you fly into Columbus, Ohio to get to Marshall after a couple hours. I think there's more direct flights to the locations in the Pac-12, and then I think even the ones that don't have your direct flights, your travel time is a little bit less, right? You probably know better than me at this point, but hour and 15 minutes from Salt Lake to Logan or, you know, Spokane to Pullman, whatever that looks like. But, you know, I think it's an hour, 15, hour and a half or so might be the longest we're going to be on the road with our student athletes. So in theory, You know, we could actually spend less time on the road, which is pretty unique when you think about a move like this. And then, you know, pending, you know, some of the conference schedules, you know, I would think with less teams than the Sun Belt, we might play less conference games in some sports, and that'll give us an opportunity to schedule more non-conference games, hopefully here in the state of Texas, which is what we prioritize now in the Sun Belt. So our model really won't change.
President Damphis, you know, you're a firecracker on social media. I appreciate that. And it's refreshing, I think, to see somebody who is interested in connecting with students and beyond. The bowl of soup, half a bowl of soup, a cup of soup tweets got a lot of attention. I know you and I communicated about that early on. Were you surprised that that got what it did?
You know, it's funny. And I shared with you the honest truth here. Don and I met and got to know each other, and we went to dinner one night, and I saw lobster bisque on the menu, and I said, yada, yada, yada. He said, you got to be kidding me. You're a Seinfeld fan. So every time I see lobster bisque, I get it. I take a picture. I send it to him. I posted that.
It's pretty much all he eats. I'll say that. Every restaurant he goes to, it's lobster bisque coming my way.
Yeah, that's right.
If it's chunky, we know we're in business. If it's not, yeah.
So I'm a blueberry pancake and lobster bisque connoisseur. And so I will say it got a little crazy at the end, and every post I made got people were psychoanalyzing it. And it got to be like I posted a picture of the American flag that I hung outside my house, and people were like, well, that means he's in a battle and he's battling. Like, I just stopped posting things after a while because I wanted to let people off the hook a little bit and say, y'all enjoy your families right now and enjoy your time together. And this stuff will all take care of itself. Sometimes you're trying to send a message to your fan base because you can't really talk about these things publicly. And people are interpreting what's going on, and people are leaking things that they think they know about what's going on. And they're sharing things about the university that I know aren't true. And I really can't defend the university publicly. People were talking about, you know, that we're in the middle of negotiations with this conference or that conference, and I knew that wasn't true. We're certainly having conversations with people, but and so sometimes you try to send a message out there without being too coy or too cute, but also trying to calm people down a little bit and say, hey, we're working on this. And so probably the one that was the most direct of all of them was the fact that I love this analogy of a duck going across the water and looks so smooth, but underneath the legs are really going. And I just mentioned that a couple times, and that got people's, or at least it sounds like he's working on something. And that's all I was trying to signal there, was that that we're working on things. We can't talk about them publicly. And there's no, you don't apply for, they don't put an ad out and ask people to apply. You can't just force your way into a conference. You have to have conversations with presidents and chancellors, because that's ultimately who makes the decision. Commissioners kind of work out the deal. Athletics directors and coaches make recommendations, but you have to establish relationships with these presidents and chancellors. And I will say to a person, the new board of directors that I'll be joining have been so gracious. I mentioned, you know, we're here in the Hill Country, and you know that right now we have huge tragedies going on with flooding and loss of life. And, you know, we're actively in search and rescue mode right now, and recovery. And to a person, each one of the presidents and chancellors in the Pac-12 have reached out to me personally and said, hey, we're thinking about you guys. The Pac-12 conference posted something about it. And that says something a lot about their character. I'm not even a member of the conference yet, and they're already reaching out with compassion about what's happening here. And I really appreciate that. And this job in athletics is meant to be fun. It's meant to be about relationships, and I know we want to compete and do well here, but it's also, you know, it stuff like what's happening here puts things in perspective, yeah, as you and I talked about earlier, yeah, that you realize that, you know, athletics in the grand scheme of things has an important role to play, but not nearly as important as the other things that are happening here in our community. And so, so really, you know, looking forward to being more open over time about what's happening at Texas State and the Pac-12. But right now we're locally focusing really on, you know, helping our community deal with this really tragic moment.
Yeah. I mean, athletics can be so much, it's been, you know, the front porch of the university, so much, so unifying, bring people together. I think a lot of people, I never expected in media to be so focused on the portal and, you know, revenue sharing and, you know, distributions. And, you know, I was not covering media rights. That's not why I got in this business. And in the end, that's the lifeblood. Teresa Gold is commissioner of the Pac-12. Can you maybe take us inside what's that, what that's like as you are in contact with the Pac-12? Is she the point person? Is it a consulting firm? How does that work? We don't know on the outside.
Yeah, so this really starts with my using my networks and Don using his networks. He knows athletic directors across the country. I know presidents, chancellors. I happen to know one person really well, started with that person, and then kind of got phone numbers from people. I got some advice from one of our really trusted and well-known alumni who was a basketball player here. We kind of brought him into the fold and having conversations with him about not just the Pac-12, but other options that we have. But then ultimately it comes down to the point person is Teresa Gould and me having most of the conversations, and then she having the conversation with her board and her staff, and me having the conversation with Don and with this alumnus who is very actively involved in this conversation. And then, you know, having those relationships build over time. So I think I reached out to Teresa the first time in summer of 24. We actually met at a conference together, National Football Foundation, College Football Hall of Fame. We happened to be there at the same time, so we actually met in person in December. To her credit, she said at the very beginning, you know, we've got seven FBS schools. We're not going to make any decisions about membership till we get the media deal worked out. Mm-hmm. And so I gave her the space to do that, and I certainly kept making connections with presidents and chancellors to make sure that they understood the Texas State story. Don was doing the same thing on his end. I hope that people discovered that we're a pretty attractive university and our athletics department has huge potential, as we've talked about in the past. But I didn't want to rest on the fact that I made one contact with people. I wanted to keep our name in front of people without pestering people. And that was kind of the fine line here. You want to like keep in contact, but recognize and respect the fact that they've got other things going on right now. And they really didn't want to talk about membership until they had that thing worked out. And so the sense that we were negotiating and doing stuff in January and February and March and April, none of that stuff really happened until the very last week. When they announced their media deal on Monday, the last week of June, that's when things kind of like heated up. And so, but before that, it's just building relationships, building trust with people, trying to get to know each other on a personal level so you know who you're talking to when you have those conversations. That's what the past year was really about.
And Don Coryell, AD here at Texas State. Don, can you speak to the doors that open from a recruiting perspective? How different is that? Because I know some of the Pac-12 schools are talking now, hey, we got a toe into Texas. We can start recruiting kids in Austin and San Antonio and say, hey, you get to see, parents get to see you play here and there. What are kids at Texas State being sold now for the future?
Yeah, I think, you know, I touched on it earlier in the interview, right, the competition, right? And I do think this is going to elevate our recruiting. I truly do. I think we're going to be able to recruit a student athlete that maybe we haven't been able to in the past or who maybe wouldn't be as interested in Texas State now that we can talk about who you're going to be playing against. You know, it's going to be a top five football league. It's going to be a top five men's basketball league. You know as well as anybody how well the other teams do in their other sports as well. I think it's the best path for us to the college football playoffs. So yeah, I expect our recruiting to elevate. I also expect our retention to be a lot better than it's been. You know, in the past, you know, you can look at you can look at a lot of conferences, right? You know, if you're not an A4 or whatever you want to call it, you know, if you're a first team all conference kid, you might be looking someplace else. If you're a second team all conference kid, you might be looking someplace else. I think we're going to be able to retain our student athletes at a higher clip now. I think people want to play in this league. I don't think they're going to search something else. So I think if we have a good NIL plan in place, you know, we're doing well competitively with the brand in the league and the teams we're going to be playing against. I think we're going to be able to retain those players, you know, again, at a higher clip. So I'm excited to see where we go. You know, there's going to be a transition. We're going to have to learn a lot of things, I'm sure. But I think we're going to have student athletes interested in us that haven't been interested in the past.
The idea that the Pac-12 champion in football should have access to the college football playoff, you agree with that? Or in what metrics were they showing you as this was unfolding?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with it. Yeah, I think we're going to be the strongest league, and you know the strongest team from last year is going to join this league, right? And in regards to, you know, Boise State and what they were able to do is really impressive. But yeah, I think it's going to be a top five league. Who wins it? That should be the rep, in my opinion.
Kelly Danfus, president at Texas State. Kelly, that media rights distribution is awful important to people. I'm sure you're getting asked about it. That it'll get out at some point. What are you willing to say now about how this will scale for you guys?
Well, what I can say is that in all the metrics we look at, media rights and conference distribution, that's part of the conversation. We've never talked about that, even when we're in the Sun Belt, about what our distribution was. And there's all kinds of speculation about how much we get in the Sun Belt, and almost none of it is, I don't think I've seen the right number yet out there. And so we've never talked about that in the past. For us, it was access to championships and postseason championships, access to the college football playoff, being able to get into new markets, having really exciting destinations for our fans to go to, bringing great universities to our campus. Just think, for example, the fact I'm looking right outside my window here, our basketball arena, and having Gonzaga come here, having Oregon State come and play baseball here, and a chance to go play there, and a lot of the other athletics programs, how successful are across the board. We wanted to be part of what we think will be the next best, as Don said, the fifth, top five conference in all these sports. And so that was really important to us. But if it didn't make sense economically, we wouldn't have done it. We're not going to go in an operation and make less money than we were before. And so I'm very happy with what we ended up with. And I'm excited about the fact that we'll have more resources now than we've ever had before. And as a commissioner said, you know, they see us as a full member, which is what my ultimate goal was to be a full member of the conference. And I can't wait to be part of it. And I'm excited about the opportunities in front of us. It's just going to be, as much as I've loved being part of the Sun Belt, and I've been on that board. This will be my ninth year on the board of directors of the Sun Belt, because I was at Arkansas State for 5 years before I came here. I was actually the president of the board of directors when we brought the four schools into the Sun Belt. And so I've been on that end of things, inviting schools in. I loved being part of that building process. I hired that commissioner. I was part of the group that hired the commissioner. And so I have, you know, huge respect for him. Those people on that board are some of my best friends are there. And so we've loved being part of the Sun Belt, but we also are excited about this opportunity in front of us with the Pac-12. And in less than a year, it'll all be here. It'll all happen. So
it looks to me like there may be another football member, maybe a basketball move. You're going to have now a seat at that table as that decision is made, as I understand it. How quickly will you be briefed on where they are, or have they already sort of shared with you kind of what directions or what things they're, the other board members are thinking about?
Yeah, we had no conversations about that yet. We literally just got the invitation, accepted it last week. My first meeting with the board is actually coming up this week, and so I'll learn more, I'm sure, then. But, you know, I think there's a place for a new member to come in and have a voice, but I think you have to be respectful for the people who've been there the longest, Washington State and Oregon State, who, by the way, you have to give them tremendous credit for what they did to keep this thing going, what the commissioner was able to do to pull all the levers to put us in a position to recreate the new Pac-12. So I think you have to be respectful of their position here. The other schools that have been there for the past several months as well. The new person coming in needs to kind of learn their place, and you have to take time to build trust with people. And so I'm looking forward to learning more about what their thoughts are, what their plans are over time, and then eventually, taking a leadership role on that board with my new colleagues. And I'm excited about doing that. I've been in college athletics for a long time. I was the faculty athletics rep at Oklahoma for 5 years, and so I got to see, from a far perspective, and a big-time athletics program like University of Oklahoma, got to work really close with Joe Castiglione. He invited me part of his executive team when I was there, so I got to go to every meeting that they did. I had full access to what happened there. So I got to see what big-time athletics looks like at a place like Oklahoma. I've been on the Sun Belt board for, like I said, into my ninth year. So I'm excited about learning more about the PAC and where we're going, what their plans are, and what our options are. And then, you know, leaning a lot on Commissioner Gold and her expertise, because she's done such a remarkable job so far, to learn more about what our next steps are.
Yeah, you don't want to pull a George Costanza in that first meeting and you know, say, here's what I think we should do. You know, so right. I appreciate your guys.
There's a lot of Seinfeld lessons that I lean on. what to do and what not to do. There's a lot.
A really good suggestion, though, Kelly. You can just say, I'm out.
Don, can I ask you, you know, Don Coryell, the AD at Texas State. All right, I got to ask you. I'm hearing from so many readers who are going, is he got any relation to Don Coryell, who was calling plays for Dan Fouts? What do you say to people?
I have no relation. I will tell you, and I married a girl from St. Louis, and so when she told her family, hey, I've met a guy named Don Coryell, I want to introduce him to the family, you can imagine half of them were like, Don Coryell, you know, the old St. Louis coach? Oh, this is awesome. And so when I finally showed up and got to tell him no relation, I've been disappointing Don Coryell fans my entire life. So no relation. I will say when I first got into the business, was doing football scheduling, I'd make calls out to the West Coast. That was always fun. Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Coryell. We'll get you right through to whoever you need to speak to. But no relation.
You'll get a table when you're playing San Diego State. You will not have a problem getting a table.
If I get heckled less on the sideline, maybe it's a good thing.
There you go. Hey, I really appreciate obviously the time and you know how candid you guys are, and I think the Pac-12 having Texas in the fold is going to be fun and different and interesting, and in a lot of ways it's reflective of the new world of college athletics. And I think I'm excited to get to San Marcos on my Pac-12 tour. I thought about getting on a plane right away and getting there, but what's the best time of year? When am I supposed to come to San Marcos?
Well, we have four seasons here: hot, hotter, hottest, and beautiful. And I think falls are great here. Springs are great. I think come to a football game. You're welcome to come. We'll take care of you. There's a lot of people that are saying, oh, I need to go visit San Marcos and see what it's about. And I think when people come here and see the campus, as Don said, with our student athletes we're recruiting here, with our coaches, with our faculty, with our students that we're recruiting, when they get on campus, they say, wow, I had no idea. I remember right after I got the job, and I actually knew quite a bit about Texas State by the time I got the job, I'd gone to College Station to visit my mother-in-law, and Beth and I were coming back. We came over the overpass right by the football stadium, and you see the whole campus laid out in front of you. And I went, and I hadn't started the job yet. Like this was like June 30th. I was starting July 1st. I said, holy cow, this is a beast, and it's huge, and it's beautiful. And you have to see it to believe it. And we'd love to have you here. We'll put you in the tube and put you down the river. Don's a big tubing guy. He's a big river guy. And so
love it.
We'll take care of you. Anybody who wants to come visit, take care of them.
Any time is good, John.
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye. Take care. And there they go. Don Coryell, the athletic director at Texas State, and Kelly Damphis, the president at Texas State. You've got the Bald-Faced Truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network.